So I think it's just to start off, I think it's pretty neat to see that in 2011 and 2012, there were three large-scale isotope tracer experiments going on in very different areas of the country. So that will provide some really good conversation, I think, next year when we all will have our final results from each of these studies, as I'm sure we will. I know I'll have to. But The main purpose of this project is really to improve our understanding of applied nitrogen cycling in loblolly pine stands in the southern United States, specifically mid-rotation loblolly pine stands. And we know that these stands, decades of research, fertilizer trials in the southern United States, many bases in here have been involved in that type of research, indicate that once we do apply nitrogen, generally in the form of urea, there's some form of response, and we hope that it's positive, and in most cases it actually is. And so the problem with that is that a lot of times it's limited. Nitrogen applied as urea has a high nitrogen content. We know it gets the response that we want. The problem is there's a large degree of uncertainty where it goes. It's applied in the winter, there can be large losses due to volatilization, and that can translate into how much is actually staying within the system. And so in the south, the estimate is about 30% being incorporated by the crop trees over the course of the growing season. Other studies show much, much less than that, a few a little bit more. So there's wide variation, but a commonly accepted percentage is 30% or less. And partly it's because when urea is applied at certain periods during the growing season, even in the winter, or should I say in the winter, we can have large losses. 20 to 50% is a range that's utilized for this. And of course we can have others, but we're really interested in that volatilization loss. And so the remaining of it is more than likely tied up in the forest floor, mineral soil, and to some degree understory competition. And from a management perspective, that can be looked at as far as a short or long-term sink, depending on what we're talking about. And so most of the people that work outside of loblolly pine plantations, myself included, before coming, thought that this is what they all look like. It's more of a, there's no understory, they're very intensively managed. But the reality is that most of the sites have some form of understory component in it from any of these gradations over here on up, and they run the gamut. And so that can have a very dramatic effect potentially on applied nitrogen cycling in these systems. And so kind of two broad themes that we're working off of is that if we can retain more in the system with these enhanced efficiency fertilizers, and if we can keep more in the system and then potentially tailor our seasonal application maybe to be more in line with plant demand over the course of the growing season, can we improve efficiencies and therefore production in these very productive systems as they are? So again, this is an overview. I'm going to work off of three broad questions with this. First, addressing end losses. And so that's going to be our volatilization experiment. And is there a difference between applied nitrogen losses between the conventional, which is urea, and the enhanced efficiency fertilizers? And we're using a microcosm experiment to investigate that. Second, crop tree seasonal end uptake. So if we apply it at other periods of time, and for this experiment we looked at spring as well as summer versus winter, is there a difference in how the crop tree responds? There are a few studies that actually show that if we apply it in the summer months, we may have an increased uptake and therefore potentially increase production for these systems. So we're trying to look at those questions, and what we did for that was foliar sampling every 6 weeks. And then the final big question is looking at the actual system partitioning of the applied N in these systems between conventional enhanced efficiency fertilizers, and we used biomass plot sampling for that. So these are kind of the three themes for this talk. And once we answer some of these, we can move on to some of the whys and potentially hopefully get at more the mechanistic issues regarding applied nitrogen fertilizer. So for those of you that saw Stephanie's talk, it's a little bit of repetition here, so sorry for that. But we're looking at the conventional form, which is urea. It's great because it has a high nitrogen content, generally relatively inexpensive compared to other forms, The problem with that is that we have generally a winter seasonal application in order to minimize those volatilization losses. But with the enhanced efficiency fertilizer, this is an added cost to the actual urea. We can add MBPT, which is a chemical additive that actually impregnates the urea granule. We can add an additional coating to that, phosphorus in this case, to not only supply the nitrogen but also phosphorus, as well as hopefully minimize urease activity to allow the nitrogen to move into the soil profile after it's been dissolved with weather conditions. And then there's the physical barrier, polymer coating, which has different size pore openings, allowing moisture to get in and a slower, more constant release potentially over the course of the growing season. And we enriched all of these with the stable isotope N15 to be able to hopefully trace that applied nitrogen movement through the entire ecosystem. And that's our application rate that we added to all facets of our experiment. And so for this, we have, these are the summer sites for 2011, scattered across fairly different physiographic regions in the south. And all of the sites that, all of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about henceforth uses these six sites. The applied nitrogen losses, specifically volatilization, we use the microcosm experiment, where we have six-inch PVC pipes that we installed into the ground, applied the fertilizer, and after 1, 15, and 30 days after fertilization, we removed those. We divided each of those microcosm up by 10-centimeter depth increments, as well as the forest floor, and then we looked at, just outside of that, the 30-centimeter increment outside the microcosm to assess or disprove leaching if it occurred. And we did a total mass balance recovery calculation. So we basically analyzed each of those depth increments for N15% N, put that into our mass balance calculation, and essentially what added that up for a total 15 N recovery, because we did not see any leaching or any movement detectable in that 30 centimeter, and even in the 20 to 30 centimeter, we make the assumption that this is primarily a loss through volatilization and use those for our numbers for loss. And so these are the y-axis is your 15N loss. This is a percent. And on your x-axis are the days and the treatments. So the left-hand three treatments are the actual enhanced efficiency fertilizers. And on the right-hand side, the larger bar is urea. And so what we see is that especially day 15 and day 30, we have close to 45 to 50% loss with the summer. Whereas the enhanced efficiency fertilizers are much, much less. And so the range of loss for the enhanced efficiencies using this microcosm experiment is anywhere from 10 to 25% versus 25 to 45% for urea. And then this is the every 6 weeks, so looking at the foliar 15N. And for those of you unfamiliar with loblolly pine puts on a series of flushes over the course of the growing season. So it will continually grow, put on new foliage, until there's some type of generally environmental issue where growth is stopped or slowed, and then it just continues to put on additional flushes. So the foliar flush, 0, 1, 2, and 3, as you can see with this, over the course of the growing season, each successive foliar flush we're attributing more 15N in each of those. And so that has a potential implication for looking at the administering, whether it's spring or summer, and trying to tie in optimization of fertilization in these systems. And then finally, the largest question, looking at ecosystem 15N recovery. And so now on the y-axis, what we're looking at is total recovery from the system. And urea is on the right-hand side. The left-hand three are the actual enhanced efficiencies. So not a tremendous amount of difference with that. We're getting what the literature says, 20 to around 40% above-ground biomass recovery for the crop trees, with the majority of it going into the foliage, not surprising with the need for photosynthesis. But the vast majority of still is staying in that 0 to 15 centimeter mineral soil depth increment. But what starts to become interesting, and now we can start moving into the whys or thinking about those, is that if we take our numbers that we saw for the volatilization and then put them on top, we find that they match up pretty good for what we were unable to recover in these systems. So that's pretty encouraging, because a lot of times, a lot of these things, that doesn't happen. But anyway, so we're pretty happy with that, and I think it gives us good movement forward with asking some of the questions about the whys and the mechanisms. So summary to date, the enhanced efficiency fertilizers for a summer application did reduce N losses, and I think that's very important from a management perspective as we move forward with if fertilization is going to be part of the toolkit moving forward for the forester to improve production, that we know that urea prices are probably not going to stagnate. If anything, they're going to increase. And so that needs to be part of the equation and look at the cost analysis of implementing potentially enhanced efficiencies, knowing that they can work in these systems to reduce those N losses. Secondly, the uptake of applied N did increase with each successive foliar flush, foliar cohort, however you want to describe it. That we can start, I think, asking questions about trying to optimize fertilization with production over the course of the growing season, now that we know that we can reduce these losses. So it may affect our actual timing in the field if we can pin this down a little bit more with our final results. The majority of the applied N is actually in the tree foliage for the above ground portion of the biomass, and then most of the applied N, though, did remain in the forest floor, that 0 to 15 after 1 year after application. And so this is kind of the segue into hopefully next year's talk, where we have our final results for the entire project, looking at our location, and this is for spring fertilization now, so that is March, April timing for application. So this basically encompasses the entire area where loblolly pine is grown in an industrial plantation setting, and so we can really look at some of the climatic drivers, adaptive factors, so on and so forth, and hopefully really get a handle on some of the mechanisms in these systems and where all the applied N is really going and why is it going there. And then, of course, the summer fertilization, which is what I talked about. And we have still to wrap up our final analysis of all of these sites, but that's pretty much where we're at now. And a lot of the sites in the spring actually have a fairly substantial understory, so I think those numbers compared to what we see in the summer are going to change pretty dramatically. So it'll be really interesting when we actually get those types of analyses completed. And so, of course, we'd like to make the acknowledgments of all the people that made this possible and the people that allowed us to use their products for looking at the enhanced efficiency fertilizers, as well as everybody else that supported this financially. So with that, I'll close and take questions. Put in a plug for somebody else, but I think that there's a gentleman, Antonio, who's going to be talking on Wednesday that can do a better job at answering that question about how, looking at fertilization long-term, the impacts of soil fertility in that, and he's got some interesting results that can speak to that. So I would encourage you to go to save that question and go to his talk and ask him that. So, but I also think that, yes, fertilizer, urea prices may be going down, but you know they may not always in the future. And what happens if things don't work out with fracking, if legislation passes that changes that? So we have to look. I think this gives us a tool going forward in the future as part of the toolkit.
And we're ready for a break.